Everybody give a warm Inner Circle welcome to Ellen Roar!
I love being here. I love this so much. This feels like summer camp. You come back and you see your friends. It's so much fun. I love you. I love you. So happy to be here. So happy to have my friend Angie Snow as part of the gang now. We work together at Service Titan. We've known each other forever. Wives of plumbers, wives of techs, bonded. So today, we're going to talk about how you pay people. Who's in? Okay, let's do it. All right, I'm Ellen Rohr. I've had 100 jobs, and I am that fence-testing, troublemaking employee that drives you bananas. That is me. Who also relates to that? Yeah. How many of you started your own business because you're virtually unhirable? Exactly. Okay, so I had about 100 jobs, and I'll say that for the most part, my sensibility, the way I look at things, is very much still tied to that troublemaking fence testing person. I had a lot of waitressing jobs, restaurant jobs, hundreds of them. I've done every single position in a restaurant, including at one point I was an oyster shucker. I was a mother shucker. I was really good at it. I could shuck a lot of oysters. And as a result of that, at one point I became the manager. And this is so funny when I think about it now. I became the manager at the restaurant I worked at because I'd worked every position. And the previous manager was literally getting hauled off to rehab when they threw the keys to me. Now, that should have been an indication of what I was in for, but they threw the keys to me, the general manager threw me the keys and said, "Would you like to be the new manager?" And I said, "Yes." So I was crowned manager. Did anyone have an experience like that? Who's standing? Who's close? We'll throw her the keys, and she caught them and said, "Yes." Did anyone else get elevated to management in a way similar to that? You're a really good technician and now you're the service manager? Okay, so when that happened, I remember going over to the bar where at the beginning of my shift, I was a cocktail waitress and a troublemaking fence testing cocktail waitress, but now I've got the keys. So I go over to the bar and my friend Walt, the bartender, my partner in crime, sees me with the keys and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm the manager." And I watched a veil drop between me and Walt because I had crossed the line. I was now one of them instead of one of us. Who has had that experience in their life? Raise your hand. It's weird, isn't it? Are they gonna be our friends anymore? What's the relationship like? How does that change? So I learned a lot over the years about being a manager, about being a leader, about being an owner, and I still hold to this identity of being an employee. And so as we talk about how we pay, I hope to represent some of the employees who are not here today. So how many of you, let's do a little audit, how many of you here are business owners? Oh, that's almost everybody. Who here is working for the knucklehead who just had his or her hand raised? All right. Yeah. All right, this is for us today. All right. So we're gonna try and look at this compensation game in a way that's gonna be really helpful to you. Now here's a picture of my husband, Hot Rod. And Howard's met Hot Rod. Angie, have you ever met Hot Rod? Okay, yes, you've met Hot Rod. He's kind of like, well, Dolly Parton's husband died, but Carl Dean is kind of like Hot Rod. People don't believe I'm even married. I just talk about this guy. I thought I'd bring a slide because Hot Rod runs in his own circles. And I love my husband, And I love him for many reasons, but one of the reasons is because he introduced me to you. See, I used to have a million jobs. I've been a ski patroller, and I was a windsurfer instructor, and I used to hand out cheese samples in the mall. I mean, I have had 100 jobs. And usually 3 or 4 at the same time. But then when I met my husband, the plumber, I ended up hanging out with him and his friends. And the reasons I love my husband are the reasons I love you. First off, he was an entrepreneur. He started his own business. He's a gritty guy. And he's a tradesperson. He's a plumber. He's a hydronic heating specialist. How many of you in the room, raise your hand if you're a technician? You know how to make things work. Like you, right? So you're the guy that they call. Your family calls you. If their house blows down, they're calling you. Right? You're the guy who goes in when everybody else is just like clutching their pearls. And that's the kind of guy my husband is. And I love you for that. And you're a plumber? And you do hydronics?
I did in Colorado.
Okay, so you're a boiler man? A wethead? Yeah, okay, that's hot rod. So I love him because he introduced me to you. And I started when I first married Hot Rod, because we were in love, I'd ride along in the truck. I'd throw myself in the shotgun position and I'd ride onto the jobs. And it was so much fun. It's still so much fun. So you ride shotgun and you get to talk, you know, in kind of their world. And I'd go to the job sites and I'd meet the other tradespeople. The electricians are wrangling lightning. How cool is that? And the HVAC guys are creating weather. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And then the roofers are keeping us safe and dry, and they're kind of goofy. And then there's the painters, and the painters are fun because the job's almost done when the painters show up. And I just really learned to love the trades because I don't know how to do any of these things. If my house blew down, I would stand there and die of exposure, left to my own devices. So what I have, and what I've really hopefully expressed, the 42 years I've been married to Hot Rod. Oh, I'm gonna get emotional now. But what I have, and I hope I've expressed, is this massive appreciation for business owners and tradespeople, people who are going into that world every day to try and solve problems, help customers out, make some money, do right by their family and their employees and their community. And this has been my life's work. So I'm really happy to be here to talk about this topic. Oh, I love it here so much. Okay, along the way, Howard was bragging on me earlier. Couple of things that I'd like to remind you about. When you're at a seminar like this, remember, it's important for you to ask the big questions in seminar land that you might not have time to or the attention span for when you're back home at the office, because everything's blowing up all the time, right? And one of the things I want you to keep in mind as we go through today and tomorrow is to remember to ask yourselves what you really, really want. There's going to be people like me up on stage spouting off about what you should do, but you got to pull it through your filter. Are you with me? And you have to decide, is that going to work for me? And you're going to make lists, but not everything goes on the list. Only the things that you think are going to make a difference to your life and move you in the direction of what you really, really want. So I encourage you today to think about that. What is it that I want out of my business? What parts of the business do I want to do? Are you married into the business? What happened right here? You two?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, you two are married? Okay, what kind of business do you have?
Roofing.
Did you grow up as an 8-year-old thinking, I'm going to be a roofing goddess someday? Was that your goal? No. How'd you get into it? There's roofing goddesses here. That's good. But how did you get into it? Like, what happened between the two of you?
Gosh, you want to share it?
Go ahead.
Okay.
You introduce yourself and your husband.
Okay. I'm Lupe. This is Sergio.
Hi, Lupe and Sergio. Okay. All right. What happened? How did you guys end up here?
Well, in 2008, Well, I don't know how long he worked for this gutter company. Was it like 2 years or so? I don't know. He was inspired to open up his own gutter company.
Because you're unemployable. Perfect. Okay.
So his dad helped him invest into a gutter machine and a trailer and a truck, and I refused to quit my job for 2 years. I still worked, and then when I would get off of work, I'd come home and work on the business. And then in 2010, we expanded our services. We became a full-service exterior service company, and I finally quit my job.
Are you excited about that?
Yeah, well.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to put you on the spot anymore, but let these words land with you. So I did the same thing, because what happened with my husband's partner died. And I said, listen, he said, I really don't like this business part. I like being a technician, but the business part leaves me cold. And I'm like, no, don't go get another job. I got a better idea. I'll quit my real job and I'll come work for you, with you. And I'll count the money. I'm a smart chick. You turn wrenches and we'll get rich. But Lupe, none of that happened. You with me? Okay, so here's the thing. When I first started with Hot Rod, and this is, again, you guys, how many of you have seen me in this room? I have so many friends in here. Raise your hand. You've heard a lot of my stories, and I'm gonna keep it fresh and tell some new ones today. But overall, my journey went like this, and I would, again, this is all to be encouraging to you. My journey went like this. We didn't have any money, so I fixed the money. And money buys options. Somebody just went to a seminar where they quoted Ellen Rohr saying, all you have to do is double your prices, and I'm thinking, good enough. That'll be great. Try that. It helps, right? So, but what I learned was how to keep track of the money, know where it comes from, figure out where it goes, raise our prices, helped raise our standards, we made more money. And money buys options. And once we had some money, money helps, and we're going to talk about money for the team, but I want to give you a little bit of context. Once we had some money, I asked Hot Rod this question, so what do you want? What do you want to do? We were in debt. We're not in debt anymore. We've got some money. We can do some things. And he said, I still want to work all by myself. So I got fired. But what's important in this story is it was a point in our lives, and the point I want to embrace right here, where we had to decide what we really, really wanted. And even if you've married into it, or you have kids in the family, or you're working for your mom or your dad, you get to do what you want. If you're with me, say yes. Okay? Because otherwise you're burdening someone with not making your dreams come true, which is what I was doing until we decided to sell our company and move on to do other adventures. Now, Hot Rod's been wicked successful. He's the most successful guy I know because he does what he wants all day long. Who thinks that's a win? He has a great life, and he's also a big reminder to me that while I'm super ambitious, and I like growth, and I like partners, and I like collaboration, he likes to work all by himself on projects that are interesting, for people he likes, and he rocks it. 10-4. So whatever you want, I encourage you to pursue, because there is a way to make a life that works following that lead, that inner guidance. So good luck to you, and I won't pick on you anymore, but that'll be your assignment today. What do I really, really want, and how do I make it work with this business, and then how do I make it work with our team? So along the way, I've had a lot of different jobs, grown a lot of businesses, currently a founder and an owner of Zoom Drain franchise. It's why I color my hair. And then I'm also a brand ambassador at ServiceTitan because I love the software, I love the founders and the values that they have there and the direction they're going with automation. So I represent with them too. But let's get on to the main event. So over the years, I've gone on a lot of ride-alongs. This is Matt. Matt works at Zoom Drain. And Matt came to Zoom Drain as a journeyman plumber. He had a license. This is a guy with some credentials. And he showed up, and I went on a ride-along with him today. See, the ride-along is essential to the rest of the game we're about to play. Because the ride-along, when you go shotgun with someone, like I did with Hot Rod, I started riding along with our techs. other people's techs, just in a new industry. I just go to the front lines and see what it is that you did, because I don't have any of these skills, and I am a champion of the people who work with us. So it's a good idea for me to go and find out what they do. Make sense? So I rode along with Matt one day, and Matt started with Zoom Drain as an apprentice. Even as a journeyman at Zoom Drain Philadelphia, you need to start as an apprentice so you learn the Zoom Drain way. And he was working up the ladder, but he told me a couple of really interesting things. One is, he said, I asked him this question, who loved Dave Anderson's presentation and meeting? I never met him before today. Was that just mind-blowing? Ask more questions. I asked Matt, what do you love about your job? And he said, you know, I like the training because even though I was a journeyman plumber, there were holes in my skill set and I was afraid of being found out. And by starting at scratch again, I got to fill in the holes in my training, and I really appreciate that. I didn't expect that. Isn't that cool? And then Matt's also the one, he said, okay, I know at Zoom Drain, we start as an apprentice, and now I'm a junior tech, senior tech, senior tech now. What's next for me? Where do I go next? How much do I get paid? What's the game? And so, like, when you talk to your team, you got to work this out together. We don't have to have all the answers, but we should be asking the questions and sorting this out together. 10-4. All right. Also, Matt is a huge guy. Where's my roofing crew? All right. And kudos to big men getting in small places, because I had an experience this day. I am telling you what, no small task. Okay, let me tell you about this ride along. This is Richie, and I went on a job. It was a sewer line replacement job. Richie is just a magician with a backhoe, can pick up a dime, you know, these guys? I mean, it's a beautiful thing to watch him. So I asked if I could operate the backhoe. And he told me, hard no, but you can sit in it and take a picture. So I did. Okay, so this is me and Richie on the job. But on the job, there was $500,000 worth of equipment on a job that we were getting $8,000 for. All right, so like the awareness of things having to go right in a high-stakes situation hit me from a financial level. And then when Richie dug this trench, it was beautiful. The sides were perfect, it was all shored up, it was absolutely beautiful. And I complimented him on his work, and he said, yes, it should look like a grave and not become one. It's high stakes in a trench. Yeah, it is. And so another game is safety. So when you go, like, you know, how much should I pay my guys? Let me get you in the mindset of what is it that we want and need them to do? And how do we reward them for the right behaviors? Does that make sense? What is good enough to keep your job? And what happens if you go above and beyond? Should there be more? So that's the philosophy that I want to house the rest of this presentation in. Does this make sense? So one of your suggested to-dos is to ride along with your frontline people. And if it's an office, at least just sit side by side with them. You know, just, I'm going to park myself here for the day. Now, who thinks if you go into the office and you sit side by side with someone in accounting that you're laughing? Do you think they're going to love that? No. What are some of the things that might come up? What might they be thinking? You don't trust me. What have I done wrong? Because, again, Dave Anderson is coming to mind right here. We usually only pay attention to them when they're doing something wrong. When I would ride along with the text, I would say the next day, did you go home and tell your whoever's waiting for you that you rode along with me yesterday? Yeah. What'd they say? Are you in trouble? So again, just like get them used to you going to the front lines. In the great book, Team of Rivals, Doris Goodwin Kearns is the author. She describes Abraham Lincoln finally assembling the team that could end the Civil War because he walked among the troops. He went to the battlefields. He talked to the generals. He talked to the soldiers. What's working? What's not working? What do you think we should do to end this? And that led to the end of the Civil War. I know I'm oversimplifying, but your front line knows what's wrong. They're willing to help you fix it. They might not know how to fix it, but that's something you guys can piece together. 10-4? Okay, so let's see some hands in the air. And then I want you to call stuff out loud, and then we don't have to have Kirk run the mic around too much. So on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being, I am absolutely happy with the performance level of my team 90% of the time, and I reward them appropriately. That's a 5. And a 1 would be hot mess. Okay, I want you to kind of self-judge yourself or your company and just put a score in the air with your hands. 5, I got this pretty dialed in. Ooh, I'm seeing 5s on the same team right there. That's sexy. Okay. This is really good. Okay, well, let's talk to the sunshine guys. Who wants it? Kirk, would you mind? Who wants to represent? Like, how all of you put your hands up right away with 5s. What makes you say that? Like, what's your journey here? Make it short, but let's hear it.
Quick and short. This is Patrick, Southwest Sunscreens.
Hey, Patrick.
Thank you.
Southwest Sunscreens.
I honestly strongly was really doing it on my installers. We do have our lead installer, Kevin, here, and then we've got a new assistant installer as well. And you asked on their performance, and it's a 5.
It's a 5.
And then you also asked on how well we take care of them.
Yes.
And I feel like it's a 5.
Do you too? He's given you a 10.
So that's just where we came
from.
So
would you please take over the rest of the presentation?
No, I'd like to hear you. Please continue.
But like, what was your journey? You didn't start there.
No.
So what, just give us like, maybe give a tip or some encouragement to the crew today. What did you do that made a difference?
I've continued to put myself around people that have done well and been successful, like Howard, and learn from them, take their advice, and treat people like I want to be treated. So I also have had 100 jobs. I'm unhirable. So maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
But again, I just try to treat people like I want to be treated.
Let me ask you this too. I don't know if I'm, from a grammatical standpoint, this doesn't sound quite right, but I like when people talk real to me. Does he talk real to you?
That's Patrick. He's a very straight shooter.
Do you know where you stand at the company?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, this is the good stuff right here. All right, so.
So when I was first brought onto the company, it's a family-owned company. There's a pizza spot by Brad's house, and he rented out the whole place. I walked in there, and I thought I was the number one overall draft pick of fantasy football, whatever you want to call it, swag bags. I mean, it's just nothing but opportunities, and I'm blessed. I love it.
And look at, they sitting here together. They're all swagged out, wearing pink. I love you. I love you guys. Let's give it up. All right. Okay, and just shout these out. Just for those of you who think, yeah, I want to be there someday. I'm not there yet. What kind of frustrations or what kind of resistance have you had in terms of the way you pay? Just like, oh, Ellen's going to be talking about the way we pay. That's good, because who's got something that they want to share? What do you got, Sherry? Yeah.
Okay. So in our business model, we have service team members and we have sales reps. So sales reps can easily create pay increases all the time based on what they do. In the servicing department, it's a little harder to quantify that. We have added some tier structures so that they can find a way to make more money. But at the end of the day, it's been a struggle because we know that that's a very important part of the business, but it's not as easy to compensate.
Love that one. Who gets that? Sales team, it's easier. The rest of the positions get a little weirder. All right, one more. Who has a frustration or just something we could work with today as I progress for the next 20 minutes? What do you got? There you go. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin with Babs Plumbing. So
hey, Kevin.
Our techs, our service techs, we have 3 levels. So we have assistant tech, junior tech, senior tech, and we actually have a lead tech position as well that's not
filled. Perfect.
But I've got that broken up into hourly tiers. So everybody makes the same thing as far as apprentice, junior tech, senior tech, lead tech. There's a little bit of gap in there. So we pay a lower hourly, and then we pay our guys a cut.
Okay.
What the sales are.
And does that work for them?
It works for some of them.
Oh, okay.
For the A players, it works really well. They get compensated really, really well. The mediocre players, they're mediocre.
Ooh, who else can relate to that? And maybe then you hear it's not fair, right? Or, you know, so keep those in mind. I'm gonna keep moving just on the basics of the time we have. Now, you're the fellow I want to pick on today. Quick question. It was even part of my slides. Quick question. You said to me, let me ask you how I should pay my team. That's a quick question. It's not a quick answer. And I'm just going to tease you with more questions today, because ultimately you're going to have to make some decisions yourself about how you're going to pay. But I do want to give you some guidelines, some guardrails for going back and putting this as a project. And we'll have more resources for you. I'm not going anywhere. I keep coming back to the inner circle. So the worst reasons for giving a bonus, tenure. You told me a story I wanted to hear. How many of you have had a salesperson, the best sale they ever made was the sale to you to get the job, and then from, okay. It's Christmas or Hanukkah, the end of the year, and you gave them something last year, and you better not give them the jelly of the month club this year, or all, you know what's gonna break loose. So I feel guilty because I should have given bonuses at some point. Or even the worst, Friday, 5 p.m., someone threatens to quit, has an offer from another job, so you try and make a side deal. Oh. These are the worst reasons. And we've all done them, so no judgment, only love. Today I'm going to share some philosophy and basics. AA rules, take what you need and leave the rest. This isn't a one-size-fits-all answer. This is just to get you thinking in a solid direction. I want you to play with me, push back, help each other. This is seminar land where anything is possible. And we're going to talk about rewards and consequences for performance. All right, now, prior to changing the way you pay, how many of you have heard me talk about getting to KFP, a known financial position? This is my life's work. It's really about the money, honey, and this is a subset. This is a side journey. Once you get the numbers kind of dialed in, whatever you've promised your guys, your team, make good on that promise. When you get back, ask them for a little grace. I went to a seminar about how we pay. I want to talk to you guys about it, have some meetings, suss some things out. Could you give me 3 months to not change anything we've got? Don't hit me up for a raise. Just like give me a little minute to get our financial house in order and figure out a game plan before I change anything. Do you see what I'm asking here? It's like, just give yourself some space. If you need to overhaul your program, ask your guys for some patience. But they'll be counting, like if you say 3 months, they're gonna be at your door three months from now, so you gotta make good on that. But get to a known financial position. There's a ton of help in the inner circle. You can always call me. I get on the phone. Santi and his crew are smarter than me anymore with the financial piece, so take advantage of that. Now, the main scoreboards in business are the balance sheet and the income statement, or the profit and loss. And that's what getting to a known financial position is all about. And know this, that whatever game plan you put together, if the impact on the balance sheet and the profit and loss is negative, it can't stay. I'm going to give my guys performance pay. Everybody gets 50% of what they make. And if that's not sustainable, because you see the score on the big scorecards, you've got to recoup. And this is how you buy a little time with your team. Are you with me? Say yes. All right, so get them in on that game. Show them the financials. Show them what you're working at. When you compare, you put a budget together and you compare every week, you're going to get smarter. It's going to get easier. What we're going to talk about now is when those scorecards are in place, could we create scorecards, subset scorecards, for every position. And I'm going to focus on a couple of positions. And the most important game to play is always with sales, unapologetically. So sales is the main game. Even though every position at the company could be gamified, until a sale is made, nobody eats. And I don't apologize for that. Who's with me? Right, and the person who wants to make more money might want to be introduced to the sales department. All right, the sales department, in my philosophy, should be the highest paid people at the company. And that can include the owner. It depends, right? But the honoring and recognizing that until we make a sale, we can't serve is really important. So I'll focus on those guys, but I'm also going to give you a little bit of information in the time we have about the production crew, the install team. And we won't have time to go to every person at the company, but I got a little exercise that'll help us start to figure out how we could. So your sales goals come from your budget. So that's why you need a little, you know, time to figure out where you are for sales, expenses, profitability. Take a look at the balance sheet. Then we put a budget together. What's a budget? Some made-up stuff. What do we want in sales? What do we want to spend in expenses? And how does that crunch out to create a generous amount of profit for us to turn back into the company, to give as bonuses, to make mistakes with? You make it up. And you tell your team, we're making it up. Now, there is some reason. We looked at last year. We went to somebody else's shop who has a shop similar. We're raising our prices. We're buying a company. There's reasons why we put these numbers together. But we made it up. And the agreement is that we're going to go after it. Are you in? And if you're the salespeople, you're responsible for the top line of that budget. By the way, my mentor Frank Lau said when you put a budget together, start with expenses, then put the sales in big enough to cover everything you want and still make a lot of money. Isn't that adorable? Okay. All right, so suppose, let's go to the sales team. Let's suppose you want to have a budget next year. Arbitrarily, 1.2 million. Maybe there's a little math behind it or a little reason behind it, but we're making it up. 1.2 million for total sales goals. What's the goal for each service tech? Now, let me describe the service tech. Sam blew it out of the water last year. He delivered 500,000 in sales. Just loves people, loves to work, works out and works. That's all he does. That's Sam. That was last year. Sue is brand new. Just started, just went through the apprentice program. She's ready to rock and roll. She's going to get in a truck, but really untested. That's Sue. Sally kind of underperformed last year. All right, she brought in about $200,000. And Steve, you know, pretty steady. Overall, he brought in about $300,000. So, what would the goal be? How would you determine the goals per service tech? 300. Sherry? 300 each. 300 each. Does that sound fair?
It sounds equal. It's not realistic.
It sounds equal, it doesn't sound fair. Here's something I say to my team all the time. Life is unfair. I'm going to try and make it equally unfair to everyone. Okay? So equally unfair to everyone. And I'm going to vote with Sherry because it's the goal. And no one comes and takes your dog if you don't hit it. But it's good to know what is expected. This is like Dave Anderson is like my new, I'm going to get in a van and follow him around the country now. wouldn't you, like as a troublemaking fence testing employee, do you know how many times I knew what was expected? Maybe 5 out of 100 times. What is a good enough day for you people? That is good enough. And we could break it down into daily, weekly, whatever, right? But in order, this is how we share at Zoom Drain Philly, in order for you to keep your truck, you have to deliver your fair share of the goal. Or, and here's the thing, keeping someone in a position where they're losing is not kind. You get them good or you move them on for their sake. Because otherwise, you're complicit in their losing. Does that make sense? Like, that's unethical. So this is the expectation. How would we get them good? Train them, systems, expectations. Another thing Dave said, that there's like, I've been on hundreds of ride-alongs with service technicians. If they did three things and shut up, they would all hit goal. We're selling drain cleaning. We are actually causing people to not buy from us from the words that fall out of their mouth. Is this making sense? Like, if we just simplified it, but we don't know because we don't ride along, because we don't train, because we don't practice. But if someone is willing and capable, they can hit minimum standards of performance. And if they're not capable or not willing, then they self-select. Is this making sense? But this just, can you see how this is a lot clearer than trying to, now, what if Sam says 300, I did 500 last year, I'd say, listen, I'll kiss you right on the cheek for 300, you're a winner. And if you go above 300, I share that with you. You see where I'm going? Bring in your fair share, house wins first. This is how I do it. It's not how Tommy does it, not how everybody does it. It's a way, and there's a lot of ways that can work. But thinking it through, I just wanted the house to win first because I was afraid of shooting myself in the foot on the balance sheet and the profit and loss. 10-4, house wins first. And then Sue turns out to be a rock star. She does 750,000 in sales. Have you ever hired someone who knew nothing, did it your way, and was a superstar? That's what systems will do for you. All right, and then we have Sally and Steve, and maybe Sally does even worse, and she has to go if she's losing for her sake. I can't tell you, I've been to hundreds of shops too, and I walk into a shop and someone will say, oh, Bill, don't even bother, don't ride along with Bill. Like, they're hating on him, because he's a loser, and he's still there. That's wrong. 10-4? Okay. Comments, questions, is this making sense? All right, so bonus basics, and Kevin, you sound like you pay a lot like we do. So there's a base wage, and it's Zoom Drain Philly. Now, I can't speak for all the franchisees because franchisees can make decisions on their own about these things, although I try to be persuasive. But even in a franchise, you get to decide how much you're going to pay and how you're going to pay your team. But at Zoom Drain Philly, which is our company store, literally, there are no meetings after the meeting about how much people get paid because everybody knows how everybody gets paid. Because now it's all documented. So you go from apprentice to junior tech, senior tech, lead tech, whatever you're calling them, and there's wages associated, and then the bonus game is defined. 10-4. Could you have rules of the game? Yes, but don't have too many. Okay, so a couple of basic things here. If you're going to do a new bonus, keep score for one quarter before you kick the bonuses in. Now, with like you guys, if they decide to change it, you could say, why don't we keep score both ways before we change it and see what my behavior, what the impact on my pay would be before we change it. Now, it might suss out the person who doesn't like a commission-based or performance-based pay, and that might be a good thing to get them good. Get them to minimum acceptable levels of performance. They don't have to be a Sam, but they gotta hit 300,000. Is that making sense? All right, so give yourself a little breathing room. Be cautious about pay. It's very emotionally attached. People feel a lot of personal worth with how and how much they get paid. Who gets this? So I'll start talking to people like, how should we pay your guys? And I swear this is true. More than once, someone has started telling me about their family life, their sex life, and they're just avoiding the topic of how we're going to pay people because it's so sensitive. Back to work. Okay, so be cautious about it, be thoughtful, and be very communicative. You deliver to goal, you keep your great job, you exceed goal, and you get bonus. A percentage of sales above goal is basically how we pay service technicians at Zoom Drain. At Zoom, the salespeople have what we call a hungry salary, but it's enough to pay the bills, and then a more generous sales percentage for the bigger jobs is how we've decided to do it. 10-4. And scoring is weekly and public. What could go wrong? I'm gonna keep moving because I've only got a few more minutes left. A couple more. House wins first. I like to make sure, help your team win. Everybody can win. It's like bowling. Everybody can bonus. Yeah, there might be a guy at the top, a gal at top of the scoreboard, but everybody can get into the bonus range. That's a really cool way to play. Bonus could be subject to qualifiers, maybe their close rate, so they don't cherry pick jobs. They have to close at least 80% of all the calls that they get delivered, that they sign off, that the job has been done to standards on a checklist or something like that. Some people put in things like no write-ups. I don't. That you get written up, you don't get your bonus. Who does something like that or thinks that could be realistic? Here's why I don't do it. Just handle the behavior and leave the bonus game alone. Because if I worked for you as a troublemaking fence tester, I would run the edge. Like, if you told me if I come late to the meeting, you're going to deduct my pay by $10, I'd go late every time because $10 is totally worth it to me to go late to the meeting. You see what I'm saying? Like, be careful what you're gamifying. $10, I'm in, like, every day. All right. Straight commission versus salary plus commission. And Tommy's a good person to talk to tomorrow. They pay a lot more generously on a bonus program than the average bear. But when you meet Tommy, who's met Tommy? He's a really aggressive guy. He is going. So his personality, his culture is gonna magnetize guys who wanna play like that. Are you with me? So you may or may not relate to that. You might wanna do something a little different, and that's okay too. So you can customize these programs to sit with you. So straight commission does reward the sales machine, but here's the thing, when you pay straight commission, I don't have to pay them if they don't deliver sales. Time is moving on. You don't have time to say that because every day we've got to feed the machine. Does that make sense? So sometimes I think straight commission can make for lazy managers. And when you pay by the hour, you might be a little more aware that I am paying these guys. We need to like fix this or we're gonna go upside down on it. What happens on Thursday? If you pay straight commission and they don't make any money because the storm hit or something like that, that might put you and them in a bit of a pinch. So this is why we pay hourly. If it's Thursday and there's been no sales all week is what that one is. Salary plus commission. Salary could be uncomfortable in the sales position. And then pros and cons. Now, what do you think? So I want you to take these ideas and take them home. I've only got a few more minutes, so I'm gonna jump ahead. Close your eyes a second. Let me show you the next couple of slides here. So like a Service Tech scorecard, let me go here first. This is Service Titan scorecard. This is in real time on our text phones, it's very cool. This is a piece of paper, or you could use a dry erase board, or you could use a piece of glass in your office, but might I suggest that you could start posting sales right now and make it weekly and make it public, and I'll give you one little tip about this. If the game is for the salespeople, only the salespeople and their managers get to comment on the game because this is a really vulnerable thing to do. Are you with me? Here, let me show you another one. Okay, because I'm kind of dyslexic. Red is good, red is bad, green is good. We use dry erase markers, and you know, we use ServiceTitan, and we still have this board for weekly school score. They like it. They hate the red marker. They love the green marker. So like, even though you're gonna use AI, don't wait to start posting and getting the scores up, because what we found is this board helps the new kids make sense of the ServiceTitan dashboard. They get a chance to kind of foot it out when you keep score manually. Does that make sense? All right, now I'm gonna just stop all this for a moment. We got a couple of minutes. For every position at your company, this is what I'm gonna encourage you to do. Go on a side by side, sit next to them, and ask this question: how do you know that you had a good day? What's your metric? I had a good day because we closed so many calls, or I made customers happy, or I turned things around, I kept the guys busy. You know, I was at three houses and all three of them said yes. What is it? And then on an install job, this is what I found. This is the key metric for install job costing. It's so easy. How many hours did you bid on the job, and how many hours did it take them? I don't need any other information on that job, even though I can get some really cool reports from ServiceTitan with more detail if they blew up the hours we lost the job. Are you with me? And also, if I gave the service technician, if I gave the installers a mini profit and loss with a gross margin on the job, I don't think they get it. But they get the hours. Are you with me? So you're gonna have these conversations. How do you know if you did a good job? And let them guide you to some scorecards, and then just keep track of a few metrics, and that conversation will lead you down the path. Now, there is more to know about this. Are you with me? Did you get a little bit of inspiration today?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Okay, it's all about love. It's all about being equally unfair to everybody and giving them a rockin' great chance of making a great living working with you. So, thanks so much. Aw. Aw, thanks, guys.